Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. Then I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. Let's pray. Father, you have greatly blessed us to give us your word to hold in our hands this morning, to gather around with the church as we sing your word and pray your word and read it and now preach your word. Lord, I pray during this time of the preaching of your word that you would open our eyes that we might see, open our ears that we might hear. Come, Holy Spirit, and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ the Son through the word. Lord, I pray right now that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my Redeemer. Bless this time. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Here in Jonah chapter number 2, we find Jonah's prayer of repentance. He's in the fish, and he cries out to God, and he acknowledges his position. He trusts God for help, and he offers thanksgiving to God for who he is. This is a psalm. Certainly would have been a familiar thing for Jonah. Psalms, and here he offers up his own psalm. It's in repentance, it's in praise. It's a lot of things before God. I want to show you three things in these verses that I believe are very applicable to us now in relations, our relation to God. Number one, that God hears our prayers. Number two, that God desires honesty from us. And then number three, that God is to be the object of our faith. So let's begin looking at verses 1 and 2 and the idea that God hears our prayers. It says that Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. So Jonah is at the end here. He is in the fish's belly, but still he prays. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in this dire of a circumstance? I mean, you've been in a bad way at some point in your life, no doubt. And there's probably even been times where maybe it was just so overwhelming or so overbearing that you struggled to even bring yourself to pray. Have you ever struggled even in bowing to pray at a hard time that you couldn't get the words to come out? You couldn't decide which words to pray? But here we see Jonah inside of a great fish, at a horrible time in his life, no doubt assuming, well, this is it, I'm going to die. I think Jonah was prepared to die. I think he, to an extent, wanted to die. That seemed to be the case in chapter 1. He has him cast him overboard, thinking that we're in the middle of a storm. At least this boat will survive and these sailors survive, but I'm going to die. This fish swallows him whole. I don't think in Jonah's mind, and I'm speculating here, I don't think in Jonah's mind he immediately said, oh, this is going to be my salvation. I think if anything, he thought, the Lord is my salvation. He says that in verse number 9, but I think he meant it spiritually and in death. Not so much physically here. Maybe, but I don't think so. He's at the end. But he prays. What does that say to us about the value in Jonah's mind of prayer? And Jonah is not on the mountaintop of his faith here. He's not as close to God as he's ever been before. He's fleeing from the presence of God. He is living in open disobedience to God's command in his life, but still he prays. We want God to hear our prayers. We want to know that God hears our prayers. But let me remind you this morning, we have to actually pray.
Amen.
We have to go before God with words. We have to speak to him in prayer. Often we talk about prayer and we talk about praying, but we are never actually going before God in prayer. Jonah said, I prayed and he heard me. He answered me. Jonah testifies, and you and I are able to read that testimony here this morning. Jonah prays from within the fish. He prays during a time of great distress, and he lives to testify that God heard his prayer. Does that comfort you? That comforts me this morning. That even at my worst, God could still hear my prayer. When we need him the most, God will hear our prayers. Jonah makes it personal. He says here, he heard my voice at the end of verse 2. Thou heardest my voice. I want you to notice the state that Jonah places himself in here. In our Bible, it says, out of the belly of hell I cried. The Hebrew word is Sheol. This was the place of the dead. For Jonah, it was a watery grave in the depths of the sea. Jonah wasn't using the word hell in the New Testament sense of the word. He was just using it as, I'm at the place of death. I'm in my watery grave here inside the belly of this fish in the depths of the ocean. But he said, even there, God heard my voice and he answered me. If we can take nothing else away from this passage this morning, we should take away the assurance that God hears us when we pray. And it's a personal hear. I grew up in a situation where the Lord's Prayer was something that we would say a lot. You know, like you pray before a ball game. You know, sports, you know. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, that was always the prayer. The older we got, the group of guys that I was around, the more that we got to know each other, they realized that I was a church-going person, that my dad was a preacher, you know. They had this mentality. I was a little more in tune than they were. I wasn't, but that was the mentality. And I always remember when we had big games. We were going to lose, or we really need to make sure God was going to help us to win. You know, we put God in the ultimate conundrum. Both teams are praying. What's God going to do? He's pulling out his hair. Oh, no. Sports can be such an idol, can't they? But I remember they would always say the Lord's Prayer, and then they would always, you know, the coach would walk off, and then one of the other guys would be like, all right, Chance, now you really pray. And so we'd get down on our knees and go, oh, God, yeah, we're calling upon you to win this ball game. Jonah here, he talks about this being personal. It wasn't just our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It was God heard my voice. He listened to me. Like in the gospel account of the resurrection, where Mary doesn't quite know who Jesus is. She thought he was the gardener. But then he spoke her name. And she knew who he was. Jonah makes this personal. He heard my voice. Jonah said, he knew who I was. I knew who he was. I prayed. We talked together here. I ask you this morning, as we consider that God hears our prayers, what keeps you from praying? Oftentimes, it's situations like Jonah's where we don't want to pray because we don't want to be that person. Spare tire Jesus person. You know, I've kept him in the trunk and now I've got to flat and I've got to pull him out and I've got to flex my prayer muscles. A lot of times we've done that so much that we kind of gotten into this habit of just don't even pray. We tell people, I'm praying for you, or I'll be praying about that. But are you actually bowing a knee and saying a prayer in their regard? Have you actually talked to God on behalf of yourself? What's keeping you from praying? Certainly, we should not allow the fact that we're running to God in a time of trouble to keep us from talking to God. Jonah does it. I mean, if anybody's not worthy to pray, at this moment, we'd have to say probably Jonah's on the low end of this list. Who of us are? But through Christ Jesus, we've been allowed access. So why not take advantage of that access and pray? We might not want to pray because we understand that to come into the presence of God is going to require some repentance. But I promise you it'll be sweet. James Montgomery Boyce says here, "It's better to fall into the hands of God, even in judgment, than to be apart from Him. The acknowledgement of God's presence, even in judgment, is a comfort." Amen. Warren Wiersbe points out about Jonah's prayer. He says, his prayer was born out of affliction, not affection. He cried out to God because he was in danger, not because he delighted in the Lord. But better that he should pray compelled by any motive than not to pray at all. Amen. I, as a father, would prefer my children to come to me when they need something, and also just because they want to tell me they love me and it's not Father's Day. But my ears are always open to their cries, whether they're coming to love on me or just saying help. Jesus made the point about the Heavenly Father. He said, what earthly father, if his son asked for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked for fish, would give him a snake? And the logical answer to that question is, well, nobody would do that. And Jesus said, well, how good is your Heavenly Father up against an earthly, sin-cursed human? Certainly he wants to hear your prayers. Maybe it's been a long time since you prayed this morning. Oh, I know, you say the blessing. You say the goodnight prayer. Whoever came up with a goodnight prayer? Let's comfort some children before they go to sleep by saying, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now sleep well, children. We should come up with something else. You can mask it. Oh, I pray. I'm a Christian. I go to church. You pray, but are you talking to God? Have you spoken with Him? Have you shared with Him the recesses of your heart? Have you expressed your feelings? Have you prayed the word? God hears our prayers, but we must pray. The second part of that comes in verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. God desires honesty when we pray. Look at these verses. Just notice how honest Jonah is about his situation. He says, "For thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about, all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God." I read about a daughter who came to her father with a request that he denied. And so the daughter said, well, then what do you want me to do? And he told her what he wanted her to do. And he went on with his work, and she remained standing there in front of him as if asking for an answer or waiting on an answer. A little bit of time went by, and her mother got to looking for her, and she called out and said, "Where are you? What are you doing?" And the daughter kind of said, in a childish, smart-alecky kind of way, "Well, I'm waiting for Daddy to tell me what he wants me to do." And the father looked up from his work, and he said, whatever it is you think you're doing here, you're not waiting on an answer from me because I've told you what I want you to do. You're just not willing to do it. You're acting like I haven't given you an answer because you want me to change my mind. When I read that, I thought, boy, I treat God this way sometimes. Well, I'm praying about this thing. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to pray about it. Where are you going to? Well, I'm going to pray about it. We have His Word. We have prayed. Now, some things require much prayer. Some things require little prayer. Some things the answer is obvious, though, and we want God to change His mind. We want God to go at it in a different way. We're just not honest with ourselves, and we're not honest with God when we go before Him. We come to the Lord trying to overlook a circumstance that in reality He Himself has caused. You see, you've stepped past the premise of the sovereignty of God. You've stepped past the obviousness of the providence of God. Verse 17, the Lord prepared the fish. Should Jonah have prayed, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't even know how I got here. I'm in this fish and I'm just clueless. And no, this is not what Jonah prays at all. Jonah acknowledges honestly the sovereignty and the providence of God in a situation. You put me here. It's a strikingly honest prayer. But we want God to kind of overlook a circumstance when it's His circumstance. We want God to ignore a sin when He's highlighted the sin in our life. We want to get an answer from God that He's already rejected. God desires our prayers, but He desires that we do it honestly and without presupposition. Don't you love being asked someone an opinion by someone who already knows what they're going to do? They just want you to confirm what they're already going to do.
So why do we do that with God?
We absolutely do that with God. Hey, I do this to my wife. How does this tie look, dear? I don't want her to say it looks bad. I wouldn't wrap it around my neck and tie a knot if I thought it looked horrible. I think it looks nice. And when I say, how does this look? I need her to say, you look so handsome, sweetie. Do we not pray this way to God with that presupposition? Lord, I'm about to go out of your will here, but I need you to bless it. He's not going to. Jonah's prayer is honest. He acknowledges his trouble. He accredits God as the source. I think we're afraid to give God credit for what He's doing in the world. We don't want God to seem bad. It's like we've become God's PR men. I went to school at Liberty University, and I was never a Falwellite, but I learned a lot about him while I was there. And I certainly have a respect for Jerry Falwell Sr. in one area for sure. He was never one to mince words about scriptural things and the happenings in the world at that time. He would just call people out. He would just say, this happened because it was God's judgment. And people would say, oh, the Reverend Falwell shouldn't say that. The Old Testament prophets did. Modern preachers and modern Christians have become so politically correct that it's become hard to determine what is truth. We're not honest with ourselves. We're not honest with God when we go to pray. And then we're not honest with the world in which we live because we're not honest with God, but not honest with ourselves. Judgment is in the world because people sin. I don't like that. We're not having a parade next week, but it's truth. If we were all as good as we pretend to be, there wouldn't be as much bad in the world as there is. But we're not, so there is. Jonah is just, he's just honest here. He gives God all the credit. I mean, I think some of you this morning, you need to be praying first. Some of you just aren't praying. But many of you are not being honest in your prayers. I appreciate in prayer that thy will be done mentality. I mean, yes, that is how we should pray. Jesus prayed that way. Thy will be done. But what did Jesus say before that? Lord, I'd like for this cup to pass from me. Was he not honest? He was blatantly honest. Jonah was honest here. He said, you cast me into the deep. Your waves passed over me. I am driven away from your sight. You brought up my life from the pit. Now think about that for a second. Jonah said, God, you cast me into the deep. Was that true? Physically, literally, it wasn't though. The sailors cast Jonah. But it was true because God is the one who ordained this thing. See, if Jonah had gone to a modern church small group, they would have led Jonah, you need to learn to forgive those sailors and we need to be praying for them for throwing you overboard that ship into that water. That wasn't fair, Jonah. And life is rough and we feel you, brother. Now, the truth of the matter, the hard, cold, honest facts here is that it was God's will that Jonah in disobedience be cast over the side of that ship because God had prepared a great fish to swallow him whole and carry him to a seashore and spit him out so that he would go obey God. I know we don't like God to be like that, but God be like that. He is. Jonah knew it. And Jonah had preached it. Jonah was trying to live other than that. God didn't let him. And Jonah admitted it. You cast me into the deep. Your waves passed over me. See how honest that was? It's God's waves. You've got waves crashing around in your life right now. And we like to blame them on the devil. But the devil's not sovereign. God is sovereign. The devil's not creator. God is creator. In the good, give God the glory. In the bad, let God get the glory. Amen. Some of your lives are letting the devil get more glory than he's worth. Amen. He's worth zero. Amen. Zero with the rims kicked off the hoop. These were God's waves. He created the ocean. He created the seas. He created the moon to cause the waves. He created the storm that had kicked up these waves. Jonah is honest here. He doesn't pray dishonestly. He prays, Lord, you've done all this to me. And the honesty in his prayer gets him to a place of being effectual. What did James teach us? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, what? Avails much. Oh, I want the Lord work in the world today. Why aren't more people being saved? Why aren't the church growing more than it is? Why don't politics go the way that we wished it would? Why are all these bad things happening in the world? Well, I'll tell you one answer to the reason why is because God's people either are not praying or they're not praying honestly. We know that Jonah's prayer is effective because of verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Christians should be the greatest realist upon the face of the earth. But we're not. Especially when we're disobeying God or running from Him. When we're not in God's will, we don't want to be realist about things. We want to get theological and philosophical. We kind of want to overlay that onto our sinful living and our disobedient living. And we want something doctrinal to happen when it needs to be something practical. Instead of being honest about our troubles, we try to just explain our miseries away. Well, I guess things like this just happen. Well, this is hard, but I can handle it. I just got to keep going and things will get better. Maybe there's a time for that. But here, Jonah doesn't do that. He's honest. He acknowledges his trouble. I mean, he was honest on the boat. He told the sailors. The lot was cast and it fell on him. And he said, yep, throw me overboard. He said, this will fix y'all's problem. Throw me overboard. And then in the belly of the fish, inside the ocean, he says, this is God's fish. This is God's ocean. God has done this. He acknowledges the low state to which he has sank. Many times we can't pray because we don't want to recognize how far away from God we've actually gotten. Many times we can't pray honestly because we don't want to be real with God about what we already know that He knows. Do you remember as a child and your parent made you confess that you lied? That's rough, isn't it? I mean, you know you lied. And you know they know that you lied. And they say, did you lie? Well, I don't know. Are you being this way with God this morning? Have you made his gospel out to be something that it's not? Are you using his word in a way that it was never intended to be used? Are you wearing the badge of Christian on a life that doesn't replicate that? Jonah is honest. He recognizes that only through God could he be delivered. Look at the end of verse 6. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. It's only through God. God hears our prayers. God desires honesty. And then finally we see in verse 7, 8, 9 that God is the object of our faith. And Jonah is clear on this. Verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. Look at verse 9. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So what does he say? The beginning of verse 7, he says, my life was fainting away, but I remembered the Lord. The end of the verse there, he says, my prayer was to God in his holy temple. And then verse 9, he makes that biblical themed proclamation, salvation belongs to the Lord. As far as Jonah knows, his life is ending here. But even in that time, it is clear that God is the object of Jonah's faith. And Jonah is not mad at God about it. Jonah has said, God, you did this. But he still said, salvation belongs to you. He declares his loyalty to the Lord. He lifts him up as the only source of deliverance. What has God done here in Jonah's life? He has moved Jonah from disobedience to repentance. Jonah says, that I have vowed, I will pay. You remember when you were saved? What did you really do at that moment? At the moment of conversion in your life, what were you really saying? We make it out to be a lot of things that it's not. You weren't saying, you were saying, I don't want to go to hell. You were saying, I want my sins forgiven, all of that. But in reality, salvation is lordship. You were saying, I'm a horrible lord of my life. And Jesus, you need to be my Lord. That's what you were saying. You were saying, the only way for me to be saved, the only way for me to be out of my sin is to be in Jesus. But I'm afraid at some point in many of our lives, though we handed the reins over to Jesus on that day, we've kind of grabbed them back. And we've started trying to steer on our own. I obviously don't ride horses because I went from reins to steering wheels. I try to stay away from steering wheels because Jesus Take the Wheel song. It just drives me nuts. I'm not a fan. So it's got to be reins, right? But God has moved Jonah from disobedience to repentance here. God is going to, in this story, move the Ninevites from idolatry to faith. And then in the story of the Bible, God is going to move people to faith and repentance. Salvation is of the Lord. In verse 8, Jonah's prayer gives us the other end of this. 7 and 9 are good. But verse 8 is a stark warning. You should underline verse 8 in your Bible. It's a weird verse to memorize and post it on the dashboard of your car, but boy, it's one you should remember. Constantly. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. It's almost like in the middle of this psalm, he implanted a proverb. Jonah says, God is merciful, but not if we observe lying vanities. Those who regard vain idols forsake their own mercy. That's what he is saying there. Too often, God is not the object of our faith. Even when we're praying, we're bowing before him. We're supposed to be talking to him, but he is not the object of our faith. We are the object of our faith. And this is the closest form of idolatry in each of our lives. We come to God to pray about a problem, but in praying to God, we focus more on self than we focus on God. We focus more on our own abilities or inabilities within a situation than we do on God. Do you understand that that's counter to how prayer works? Lord, I'm just going to use sickness here. There's a lot of illustrations. Lord, I am sick and I need to be healed. How do we acknowledge God in that regard? You are the great physician. I trust you. But a lot of times we don't let him be the object. We kind of keep us as the object. I am broken. I need money. What are we missing there in that prayer? Well, in that prayer, we're God. Our money is our God. When in reality, the prayer to God is more appropriately, you are all. And so all of my needs, you are all sufficient to supply them. Or, though I think I'm broken, the world in which I live, and I think I need money, you are in control. So this is obviously where I need to be because I'm in your will. Do you see the difference in the object of prayer? We make us the object of prayer. We make our problems the object of prayer. We should make God the object of prayer. This is what we do with our worship here. We try to sing songs where God is the object of our worship. We sing about who He is and what He is, not about us. If we're not careful, we are, even in prayer, putting our trust into the systems of this world and into temporal things. Yes, you are sick, but this life is like a vapor. It's going to go away soon. And then you get to go to eternity. And I don't wish that on you. And I don't wish that on me. I want to die, but I'm not. There is no fear in death. Well, yes, you might be broke right now, but this is just for a time. In the grand scheme of things, in this temporal world, you are actually very rich. And then eternally, the riches are inexhaustible. Oh, yes, you have problems right now, but this is just now. This is the temporal. We must focus on the eternal. It is a sin to focus on the temporal and not the eternal. When we come to God and that is our focus, then we are making that the object of our prayers and not Him who is eternal. And that's a shift. And that takes work. It's not going to happen if you're not in the Word, but when you are, you will live a fulfilled Christian life. Jonah's learned this, and he testifies of this here from a watery grave. Jonah's not praying this from the shore. The flow of this doesn't work. I mean, certainly nobody else heard this till after he got to the shore. I think they had a podcast inside the belly of the whale. But from within this fish, he's preparing himself to die. And this is Jonah's testimony. He says, regard such vain idols and you will forsake God's mercy in your life. I mean, let's just be logical here. Anybody volunteering this morning, I want to forsake God's mercy in my life. Not a one of us, right? So what is the logical conclusion then? Don't regard vain idols. And in this context, it is to say, let God be the object of your prayers. Christian, I want you to know for sure today that God hears your prayers. No matter. Pray. I want you to be honest with God when you pray. He already knows. I love It's a Wonderful Life. Young George Bailey. Old man Gower's got the wrong thing in the prescription, and young George Bailey's supposed to deliver the medicine, but he knows it's probably going to poison somebody. And he goes over to figure out what to do, and he sees a sign on the wall, and the sign says, ask Dad, he knows. So he runs over to his dad, and his dad's too busy, and he ends up doing the right thing. But that makes me think about God. He knows everything. Ask Him. Talk to Him. Make him the object of your faith. But I'll tell you, to make God the object of your faith, you're going to have to dethrone your idols. That happened a lot with the nation of Israel over the years, didn't it? They had to tear down the high places. They had to bust up the altars to idols. We've stopped doing that. I mean, for us, it's spiritual now. It's not physical so much. But we've stopped dethroning idols in our lives. We just kind of get comfortable where we are. We've got God figured out. We know the doctrines of the Bible. And we got church arranged. And everything's hunky-dory. And here we go. Cruise control to heaven. It doesn't work like that. There's hills and valleys. And there's one true God. And there's many idols in between. And you have a sin-cursed nature with a tendency to set up an idol, even as unto God. The Israelites did this. They would set up an idol and they would say, God, we're going to worship this idol unto you. It doesn't work that way. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. So dethrone your idols. Make God the object of your faith. And for those of you who are here today unsaved, and I'm sure some of you are, I'll give you verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. That's the theme of the Bible. Salvation is of the Lord. Like Jonah, we've run from God, all of us, but none need perish. God has himself provided the way into eternal life through the death of his son, Jesus. Your salvation is Jesus. So I ask you, will you receive him today? Let's stand.